Sometimes we feel dry, and when we feel dry, we don't have what's referred to in the Bible as the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, it gives mark of what happens when you're full, when you're moist with God. The fruit of the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're not feeling loving, or we're not joyful in all circumstances, even in crappy ones. When we're not patient, we're not giving kindness, we're not faithful, when we don't have any self-control over habits we can't kick, it's a sign that we're getting dry. What we've been learning in this series is that we get dry. Life sucks us dry, and that means the Spirit. The Spirit actually is a person that can dwell in us in various degrees. And sometimes he's referred to as a fire, as we'll see later. Sometimes he's referred to as something that is liquid and being filled. Also referred to as wind. Speaking of wind, how about breaking wind? I have this... Got this new little application here on my iPhone. It's pretty wild. And they just have all kinds of fascinating sounds. They got a whole bunch of sounds just of breaking wind. And I just love the sounds of them. Like cushion creeper. That's funny right there. Cushion creeper. Or a mud slapper. I don't know how they thought of these names. How about sphincturbulence? Sphincturbulence. You want another one? Oh, yeah. Of course you do. How about bean bomber? Oh, man. That just doesn't get old. They go on and on. They just keep happening. All kind of stuff with wind here. But what we're talking about, actually, the Spirit we're talking about. Now, why did I do that? Because I can. That's exactly why I did that, because I can. Ephesians 5, 18. Actually, there is a point to that. We're going to get to that again later. Just stay tuned. Ephesians 5, 18 says this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Here, the Spirit is likened to a liquid. Just as wine is a liquid, and as you are filled with wine, you take on different properties, not all positive at all when you're drunk, but it likes it to the Spirit. When you are filled, there is a power that comes over you, and this ongoing filling is something we should aspire to. In fact, in the original Greek, the Greek tense, be filled with the Spirit, this is not saying receive the Spirit once. This is ongoing, never-ending filling. That's the tense in the original Greek. Ongoing, never-ending filling. We're not talking in this series about when you receive the Spirit and that he's going to leave you high and dry. No, we're not saying the Holy Spirit ever leaves you and kicks you out. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, if you're receiving the Spirit and if you die and get hit by a truck, you're going to go to heaven, that God's going to say, no, I changed my mind. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a different thing that comes on the person who has received Jesus, where you have more and more of God's presence in your life, more and more power, more and more love, more and more patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, more and more abilities than you had before. This is the ongoing filling of the Spirit. In four ways, four things that we need to be aware of. It's not like if you do all four of these things, it's like a mathematical formula, bim, bam, boom, bum, dumb, perfectly, I got it. God's a person. He's a person. And we can't manipulate him by doing some formula. But these are the things that we ought to have a regular diet of in order to receive more and more of the Spirit, if that's what you want. First is this: asking leads to filling. Asking leads to filling. The book of James says that you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not on a variety of things. This means that I just ask. Maybe right now in the quietness of your own mind, you want to just say to God, God, I don't know what I'm going to get today. I'm just going to ask you for more of you. Asking. You know, and as we ask, we find out there's other things that need to happen for the Holy Spirit to feel welcome and like he wants to dwell there. Another one is engaging. Engaging leads to filling. Engaging leads to filling. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 22, it says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. do not put out the Spirit's fire. Spirit's likened to fire here. This is also in other translations translated, do not quench the Spirit. You could also see it as, do not smother the Spirit. So the Spirit is also this fire that's burning and raging, but there's things that you and I can do that quench it, that stamp it out, that put it out. And what happens is we need to, as that verse said, pray continually. Rejoice continually in all circumstances. As we do this, it's sort of like constantly throwing fuel on the fire and keeping the Spirit's fire burning very strongly in us. Now, what does that mean? Pray continually, rejoice at all times. I mean, because someone's going, man, I got to work too. I got a J-O-B. How am I going to do that? Well, we're getting a lesson on how to do that right now in the midst of our recession. Because we do that constantly in the recession. You're constantly getting updates, wondering what's happening in the recession, asking people, what do you think about the recession? Wondering if you're going to get another paycheck, wondering what's happening in the stock market. You're living in constant awareness of what's happening with the economy. When you go shopping, you may be spending extra amount of time wondering, I should buy this, I should not buy that. You're living with an awareness of the recession. And if you can do that in recession, we can do that with God, living in a constant awareness of interaction, dialogue. And as we do that, we send God a message that says, hey, I want more of you in here. I want you to come into my life, and I'm just asking for more. I'm asking you to pour more of yourself into my life. Third thing, well, actually, before I give you a third thing, this thing I'm talking about here, just so you know, this is not like a variant opinion that comes from a couple different verses in the Bible. This is the theme of how the Spirit operates as a person throughout the entire Bible. One textbook that's used as a common textbook in seminaries by Wayne Grudem called Systematic Theology, which is the systems of the belief in God that we see throughout the whole Bible, says this into talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. He says, if we resist and quench and oppose him, then his empowering will depart and he will remove much of the blessing of God from our lives. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the immediate presence of God himself, and it therefore will result in feeling what God feels, desiring what God desires, doing what God wants, speaking by God's power, praying and ministering in God's strength, and knowing with the knowledge which God himself gives. I want to desire God more. I want to know God more. I want to feel God more. I want to feel more love, more power, more patience, more gentleness, more self-control, more abilities that I don't have in and of my natural self. This happens as I am asking and as I am engaging. And I am gaining. It's an ongoing, never-ending process. It's not a duty. It's not a burden. It's a joy because when you're in relationship with somebody, you want to be with them and you want more of them. To take this to another level, I'm going to spend pretty much the rest of our time in Ephesians chapter 4. Here's what it says in verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Very interesting little snippet in this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is not an aura. He is not a force. He is a person. People get grieved. And here we have a whole list of things that cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved. Let me ask you that. When someone bums you out, do you want to be with them? No, 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 no. No, you do not. When someone is bumming you out and they're grieving you, it's not that you don't love them. It's not that you're hoping the worst for them. It's not that, you know, it's just that you don't want to give them ever more of your presence. And it's the same way. There's certain things that we do in our life that grieves the Holy Spirit and causes him to spend less time and be in a less powerful way inside all of our lives. This is a regular, constant, ongoing thing. Let's talk about farts again. For a minute, why don't we do that? That's nothing like four-letter words that start with F that we could talk about in church. Good stuff. Now, is the sound of a fart really all that bothersome? No, it is not. No, in fact, it's funny. God invented it, so it's funny. I think that he laughs at that. I really do. If you want to do that in a room where I'm in, that's fine. So long as I can't smell it, okay? It's not the sound, it's the odor, because no one wants to be in a room where that odor is. It grieves you. You leave that room, right? Now you read me. You understand where that's going. This is why when there are certain things in our life that are putrid, that have odors, it grieves the Holy Spirit. He has to leave. One of the words I really don't like, it's in the Bible, it's true, but I don't like it, is the word repentance. I don't like the word repentance because when I hear of repentance, I think of somebody who's screaming at me on a street corner holding a cardboard sign. That's what I think of when I think of repentance. Very few of us really understand what repentance is because of these images. Some of us think repentance is when we say, I'm sorry. No, it's not. That's a part of it, but it is not. Some of us think repentance is feeling really bad about something. No, it's not. I mean, I hear people say, well, so-and-so has a good heart. And it's like, why? Well, they cry a lot. Well, so what if someone cries? Someone crying a lot means nothing, zero, about whether or not their heart is good. Nothing. What is repentance? Is repentance shouting at people? Is it saying I'm sorry? Is it boo-hooing and crying over our mistakes? No, it isn't. None of those things are repentance. Actually, the definition for repentance is right here. It says, rid yourself of. Repentance is riddance. Repentance is riddance. Ridding leads to filling. Ridding leads to, see, the more stuff I have in my life that smells, the more stuff I have in my life that should not be in my life, the less room I have for God. It's taking up space. It's taking up, and as I rid myself of things in my life that shouldn't be, I have more room for the Spirit. And this is a constant, never-ending, ongoing process. For instance, for me, this last week I've been looking to get a new Bible because I've got this thing where I got a Bible at home that I read when it's just kind of me and God, had nothing to do with work. I got a Bible in my office, I got a Bible in my backpack, and they're different ones, they're different sizes, different translations. And the problem with that oftentimes is I'll read something in one environment that I want to remember and talk about in another environment, and I'll go and I can't find it because I've got a visual image of where it is, what it looks like on the page. So I thought, man, I need to do some standardization. If I could just find one and use it in all different places, that'd be cool. So I go to the bookstore, I'm looking around, and it's kind of a hard thing to find like the one that is the right one. Because sometimes I want one of those thick bad boy mama jammas that have like all the notes and all the this and all of that. But then when I'm other places, if I'm lugging one, I don't want that thick, horse choking thing. I need something a little more, a little more thinner and stuff. But if it's too thin, then the print is too small. I don't want to read it, or it doesn't have some of the helps in it, or the pages of paper like onion skin, they're ripping whenever I look at them. And so I go, I'm looking at all these different Bibles, trying to find one that's sort of a one size will fit all different environments. I got to get the right cover and all this stuff. And one of the things I think of is maybe I ought to try a different translation. So whenever I look at a translation, I look at this one section in the book of Philippians that I spent an entire semester on in seminary. It was my responsibility to break this down in the original Greek language, to diagram the sentences, research everywhere, look at the historical, cultural things. I spent a whole semester on this one chunk in Philippians chapter 2. So when I look at a new thing in the Bible, I go and I'll look at how the translations are, because I'm like, that was a bad one, shouldn't translate that way. Or, oh, that's fresh, so, that kind of thing happens. Well, there's this one section in that chapter where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And when I read that, I'm thinking, man, that's good. I need to hear that. But I kind of keep reading on. Nothing really happens internally to me. Today, you might start to feel some conviction. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. If you start feeling bad, it's not because I or the Spirit is trying to condemn you. It could be because you're being convicted on something that needs to be ridded from your life. And if you can't identify things you are ridding from your life, you are not getting a filling. It's a constant process. So I look at this new translation, and I read that same thing, and they say, "Have put away your rivalry." I'm like, rivalry. Some of us are going on right now, well, some of us just kind of did it. It's interesting. Oftentimes I groan. It's almost as if the Spirit is speaking to me. It says in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Spirit intercedes us with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes when there's an instinctual, it's like, oh, I just identified something I need to be rid myself of, you know. Like some of us, for instance, you know, you got this little root here. Like, you need to be ridded of getting over the fact that I'm talking about farts today. Just get over that. Just, you know what? You haven't been thinking about anything. You can't wait to write me an email. You're just you're concentrating on that. And that little thing is that you're not even focusing here at all. There's all kind of things that pop up. We need to pull them out. Rivalry, though, when I read that, I'm going, yeah, I got a problem with that one. Not in the way that you might think. Like, when Chuck Mingo speaks, how good did he do last week? How good was that? I honestly don't ever sit there and think to myself, oh man, I gotta beat that. That's not as good as me. I gotta do that. No, I never think that, and I really don't. But there's a constant dialogue that happens inside of me. I gotta be very careful of ridding myself of. So if I read a book that's similar to the book that I wrote, I'll think, oh, mine's better than this. I got this rivalry thing that's happening. If I see somebody who is parenting in a certain way and my parenting style is different, I got this rivalry thing going. We're like, man, well, you know, my kids are better than yours. I got this rivalry thing happening. Or if I see somebody who's got a really great car, instead of me admiring the financial discipline in which they may have exhibited to do that or the fine engineering, my rivalry self will go, yeah, well, I bet I give more money than you do. I got this, I'll constantly, this thing that's happening inside of me. I'll think about how a seminary professor gave me C's and how I'm like, man, freaking C's, that's ridiculous. So I want to like beat him and not have his expectations of me be true. Rival. And every time I think about this, my life smells, my inner world smells, and the Holy Spirit evacuates. Again, doesn't leave me high and dry, isn't saying that he's taking things away from me so I'm going to go to hell someday. Just his fullness of his presence isn't there. I need to constantly rid myself of rivalry. So it talks about unwholesome talk in there. Unwholesome talk, people normally get focused on, well, that's kind of sexual jokes and stuff like that. Really, what that entails is something much broader and deeper. It entails anything that corrodes, anything that causes things to rot, like negativity, pessimistic attitudes. Some go, yeah, there you go. You know, some of us in here, like, you think your spiritual gift is negativity. It is not. That is not your spiritual gift. That is not a gift from God. He wants you to lose that gift right now. Some of us are like Eeyores, you know? People around us is like, oh, how you doing? Okay. Boy, it's a good day. No, it's not, you know? That's unwholesome talk that has a degrading effect on people around you. That's unwholesome. That kind of negativity is something that grieves the Holy Spirit, and he leaves. It smells. He wants to get away. Here's another one. Rid yourself of all bitterness. Bitterness. Roots of bitterness that happen inside of our lives. Some of us, these roots are just, why is it our roots for bitterness so deep? Because we got to get rid of our bitterness pills. Some of us are popping the bitterness pills, an endless supply of bitterness pills. I can't account for why some of us are as bitter as often as we are, other than you must have an endless supply of bitterness pills. You just keep popping. And this forms a fertilizer effect on these roots that have gone in and around our life. You know, I can be bitterness over bad grades I got that I thought that I shouldn't get. I can be bitter over something somebody said to me I'm trying to live up to. You can be bitter because somebody failed to invest in your business. Bitter because somebody walked out on you. Bitter because someone didn't go out with you. Bitter because whatever these things can be like knots and roots that just tease out in and through our entire life. And just are ugly and disgusting. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be around them. And when we yank them out, we get more room, more space, more of an invitation for the Holy Spirit. Never ends. It just keeps going on. It's goals that we shouldn't have. It's our fixation with materialism and money. It's things like refusing to become a more generous giver. Refusing to do that. Refusing to make it a preset percentage of our income and make that a priority to fund God's work. The Holy Spirit wants to be around that. He does. Understanding that 10% is a benchmark and a standard. And working my way there and beyond is something the Holy Spirit encourages. Now, let me talk about this for a minute. I talk about this one because I know this is very, very common in here. Very common. So I want to talk about the ones that are as common, and this is very common. I also want you to know that I've intentionally not talked about this stuff, money, for several months because we're all hearing about money all the time. And I wanted to have a little respite in here to not hear about money stuff because we hear about the economy. But hear me very clearly. We started our annual budget goes from September through August. We set our budget in August, long before the recession hit. And our budget for this year is $13 million. And we are tracking exactly to budget. We are doing great financially. Great. And we're thankful to God. And we're thankful to those of you who God uses. Awesome. So this is not some funding thing. This is, I'm telling you, this is one of the areas, if you don't wrestle with this, you are putting a cap on the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life. We grieve the Spirit with these kinds of thoughts, ambitions, conceits, goals that are not of God. The Holy Spirit is likened in the Bible to a dove, not a city pigeon, a dove. A city pigeon, you can walk right up to it. You can take a bus right by it. You can kick it. You can kick it. It'll go about 5 feet away and come right back if it thinks you got something for it. Noises, cacophony of sounds, smells, don't bother it at all. But a dove, very few of us have ever even seen a dove because they're very sensitive creatures. This is the way the Holy Spirit is. He's a very sensitive creature. And we have roots inside of us, goals inside of us, thoughts inside of us, stink inside, bitterness, anger. It just encourages him not to be as fully present as he could be and to expand our boundaries. And I'm saying this not to bum anybody out, but to help you know, man, if you're dry, there's a way out of this. If you're feeling lack of love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, there's a hard work of riddance that we all have to be doing all the time. Got an email this last week. I'm trying to, in this series, just use all my illustrations, if you haven't noticed, just from within 7 days' time, because this isn't a serious thing. This is a my life thing. This never ends. And also, the reason why I didn't want to do the whole fart thing is because I wanted to send a very strong message that we're not talking about moralistic goody-two-shoe time here. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the religious thing that says we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't date the girls who do, nor have fun. We're not talking about that. We're not talking. Sometimes when people start talking this way, you get the feeling that you're just going to be this tight butt, you know, just going to swallow coal and poop diamonds. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about ridding things and attitudes and behaviors out of our life that are at their core anti-Jesus. And this always happens. Always. For me, it's a constant, continual thing where I get to engage. So I got this email this last week. It says this, I'm writing this long overdue letter to apologize. I have a long list of excuses, not legitimate reasons for why my heart was hardened. It doesn't matter. What matters is that I allowed myself to become susceptible to sin through gossip and slander, and I hurt you and others. Separate apologies en route. And my rash, disproportionate, and horribly misdirected anger, slander. This person's mentioning things that were actually in that verse. And as a result, I left a gap in service that had to be filled by others. I want you to know I've been sorry for a long time now. Maybe I'm just able to bear the full brunt of my shame and the way I left. Please forgive my arrogance. I owe you a chance to vent. I promise to take it lying down and with a humble heart if there is anything at all you would like to say. And what I immediately said was, you're forgiven and always have been forgiven. No worries. Go live your life. I forgave that and forgot about it in terms of I had to be reminded of this. Forgiveness happens with me every day. Forgiveness is not two people coming together, hashing out their difference, being reconciled, and everything goes on the same way. That takes two people. And by the way, that's not always right either. That takes two. Forgiveness takes one person. It takes me saying, I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to release it. And why do I do that? I release that, and I did it a long time ago because I don't want roots taken up my life. I don't want anger or rage or bitterness taking up. I want God taking up my life. And he is not going to reside in fullness when materialism is in there, selfishness is in there, unwholesome talk is in there, negativity is in there, dreams that shouldn't be in there are in there, images on my computer are in there, stuff inside of a plastic bag that shouldn't be in your pocket is in there, stuff that's inside of an account that you're hoarding up that should be divested, stuff that is, I can just go on. It's a regular, common, ongoing thing, not for goody-two-shoes purposes, but for a filling and a power, which is what we're all looking for. That's why we're doing all of those things. We're trying to fill ourselves up, but it just takes up space and doesn't fill us. It saps us. It drains us. It keeps us from being powerful. And when I'm fearful, when I'm timid, or I'm not going after this stuff, I know there's something wrong spiritually. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this, "For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid." Another translation says fearful. So when you're fearful or timid, you are in spiritual crisis mode. No, you're not responsible. No, you're not level-headed. When you're fearful or timid, if you're bummed out about the swine flu, let me tell you, the spirit is not happy. Come on. Have we not learned every year something new to be afraid of? You didn't get bird flu. You didn't get SARS. You didn't get Ebola. Come on. Yes, someday there will be another thing that sweeps across the land. It does happen, yes. But spending time being fearful and timid about it is not leading to power. In fact, what happens is God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. It doesn't just shake the finger, but as we go through the hard work of riddance, he actually gives us power that we didn't have before. Ridding leads to filling, as does moving. Whenever I'm moving into a place where Jesus is or where Jesus would be if he were still walking physically on planet Earth right now, I'm going to a place where I'm inviting the Spirit's filling because I'm in a place where the Spirit is and wants me to be. In the book of Acts, which is all about the acts of the early followers of Jesus, it regularly shows that when people are doing something, engaged in a way that is being Jesus to people, that there is a filling. Here's one example in the book of Acts chapter 13. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. And the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, you just got persecuted. Excuse me, you just got expelled. But they're full of the Holy Spirit. Regularly, when somebody is on the firing line and someone's engaged, there is a filling of the Holy Spirit, an ongoing, ever-present filling. Some people who were experienced in the Unbound conference not too long ago experienced. Any Unbound folks in here from Crossroads Student Movement and volunteers? Yes, some of them. Yes. Awesome thing started this year. I think we're going to continue to do it where students and others are coming together to be sensitized about worldwide slavery that's happening. Not just sensitized, but actually praying about it. There's something powerful that happens when you pray. And I loved hearing the stories of what happened with some of these students after Friday night. Because the plan was for some of them, I'm going to come Friday night, but I can't do Saturday. But I'm going to come Friday night. And some kids left Friday night, one group I heard of. They were in a select tournament or a select team for some athletic event. And they came and they told their parents that they felt like they needed to not play in the game the next day. But they needed to go and pray for people who were in slavery because that's what Jesus wanted. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? You would do that because you were getting filled and you wanted more of that. Other students decided they were getting hit so hard that they were going to be spending big amounts of time writing a paper, getting ready for a test. And they decided that they'd rather be engaged in prayer. And if that meant taking a letter grade lower on a test or a paper, they were going to do that. Why would they do that? Because sometimes you rid yourself even of good things if you sense where God is. And by the way, who gets the most bothered by that? Parents who are dry. That's who gets the most bothered by that. Parents who are trying to live their life through their kids' accomplishments. Parents who are trying to live their life and get all their goodness by what school Johnny's going to get into and how many goals Susie got and all this stuff happens. All this stuff, maybe there's a reason why the older we are, the more doubts and pessimistic we get, because the more rocks we start putting into our life that are not of Jesus, the less space we have for the Spirit. You know, and these kind of things bring controversy because it's not the way of the world. Moving leads to filling. This is why we do things like Go Cincinnati. We're not going to change the city in 4 hours. But man, we'll be changed. When I go, I feel filled. I come away from there, even if the project doesn't go well, if I feel there were some things that were a bit of a waste of time, I come away feeling filled. Because when you go to a place or engage in anything that God approves of, there is a fresh, ongoing feeling. You know what I dig about Go Cincinnati this year is, if you're going to stay home and you need to rent some supplies for your own house, I'm sorry, you are out of luck. Honestly, every single wheelbarrow in the entire region is rented and gone. Every single ladder, every single chainsaw, all pitchforks, they're all gone. All of them. So unless you own one right now, or Home Depot got recently stocked up, they're all gone. All of them are gone. I think that's awesome. There's a movement of the Spirit on the people of God in our city that is affecting the supply chain in our, isn't that cool? That is just absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome. One thing I want to invite you to do this week as an exercise is pick out some time. Maybe it's a day, maybe it's 5 hours, maybe it's the entire 7 days, and choose to strategically only drink water. Don't drink coffee, don't have Coke, don't do a beer over that time. And do that, and as you just drink, every time you do it, make it serve as a reminder to engage, to just ask, oh, God, I want more of you. Oh, I'm realizing I need to get over. Use it as a reminder of engaging with God, of encountering Him. And actually, while you're doing that too, there's a few of our leaders, our board and management team is going to go away for some planning, playing, retreating, praying time here locally. Today through Tuesday, if you want to think about that and pray for that, the church would benefit greatly from that. God, it is not my desire to have anybody feel punished here today. It's my desire to hope that you would pierce our hearts, that you would convict us of things that we've just grown accustomed to. We've been walking by, we've been allowing that pile of crap to sit in the room of our life, and it just doesn't belong there. And you don't want to be in there. Empty. God, we're praying for an emptying of all in our lives that is holding you back from pouring more of yourself in. Empty us.